are cleared for departure. Have a good flight.
The Christopher Gabriel program begins now.
Watt sports leader in Fresno, the Central Valley, and for Bulldogs basketball fans still calculating, do I have enough time to get to Thomas and Mack if I get in the car right now? 940 ESPN, 940 ESPN, Fresno.com. Your 2.5-hour tour. It's abbreviated today, but it is live from Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, Nevada, begins right now. 7 minutes, 17 seconds past the hour of 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Saving Time. I am the host of this program and none other that I am aware of, Christopher Gabriel. Delighted to have you aboard. We are in the, it's called the Strip Pavilion, and it's an appropriate name because we are just off the Strip. But when you think about Las Vegas, there's a certain double entendre there that works very nicely. It's a beautiful arena. A lot of folks here like to say that it hasn't aged well. I'm not seeing that. I'm seeing a vibrant, exciting place to watch a game. Great sight lines. It's a place that produces a lot of sound, and we are looking forward to 8:30 p.m. tonight. Tip off the Utah State Aggies and the Fresno State Bulldogs. Back at Mission Control, Sharks fan, Giants fan, technical director, producer Russ, keeping us on the road and going in the right direction, we hope. On the program today, probably in about 60 seconds, the head of the athletics department, we call him the athletic director, Fresno State, Terry Toomey, joins the program. Bottom of the hour, executive producer for the Mountain West Network. He's done a whole bunch of things. He's won more. If we talked about the awards that Jesse Kurtz has won, that would take a half an hour in and of itself. I'm not kidding about that. Jesse Kurtz joining me. 6:05, we're going to give you the post-game Fresno State presser again because it was really good stuff, and you're going to get an idea of where the boys are at going into tonight's game. At about 6:20, Tony D will join me. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the game last night and talk about the game tonight. And then 7:05, the big man's back in the house. Coach Q will join me. One more thing at 7:25. Paul and Coach Q will have your pregame from 7:30 to 8:30. And then we want to remind you, Bulldogs overtime tonight after the postgame. I'll jump on for about 20 minutes. We are going to seek out your calls to get your takes, yay or nay, good, bad, or indifferent, what you thought about the game, no matter whether the Bulldogs win or lose, 844-940-3776. Without further ado, I welcome our good friend, the Director of Athletics at Fresno State, Terry Toomey. My friend, it's good to see you here in Las Vegas.
Chris, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to be here with you, and I appreciate the opportunity to come out and talk to the Bulldog Nation.
Well, believe me, the pleasure is ours. I was saying to you as you strolled up on the concourse, and you were a little out of breath, as I was, because it seems like no matter which way you go into this building, you're going the wrong way. I've gone the wrong way every time.
Oh, yeah, I get turned around all the time. I think I've been turned around for about the last 6 or 7 months.
Yes. This has been a great time for you to come into Fresno State. You know, we talked early on when you took over the position. We talked a couple times during football season at UCLA, back in my studio, downtown Fresno. And then we talked for the Las Vegas Bowl.
Right.
Just any number of times. Now here you are with basketball, and then you can add in programs like Natalie Benson's water polo program. They've beaten two or three nationally ranked teams. You have softball playing great. Baseball looks like they're off to a good start. They give Tennessee, nationally ranked Tennessee, their first loss. Give me the Terry Toomey state of the Fresno State Athletic Department.
Well, I think you've encapsulated it well. I think from a competitive vantage point, we're doing outstanding. I think we are steadily improving. I think our student athletes and our coaches and all the staff that supports them have done an amazing job of positioning our student athletes to compete at the highest level and when I say compete, you know, be successful at it, which means win. So that part we're doing amazingly well. I'm very proud of what we've accomplished, but definitely not satisfied. There's so much work to still be done for our athletic department and for our students and for our university. Of course, as you know, I say this all the time, we serve not only the 500-plus student-athletes, we serve 25,000 undergraduates there at Fresno State, as well as the alums and this community, and we're very proud of that. So that part's going well. On the flip side of it, there's some things that we are still growing at and still need to do better. And I think everyone understands the financial conditions that we have at our institution, what it takes to compete at the highest level here. It is not an endeavor for the weak when it comes to the financial piece. There are so many demands in that vantage point. We have a lot of heavy lifting to go from that vantage point, and we've been concentrating a lot of work on that.
So when you look at everything you just said and break it down, and you look, here we are at the tournament, and all the teams have been here, and now we're down to four teams. Throughout the course of the basketball season, what have you seen, experienced, or in conversations you've had with other athletic departments here in the Mountain West, what have you seen from other programs, including how their arenas are set up for games, that you feel are things that could be incorporated to better Fresno State, the Fresno State basketball experience?
Well, I think the first thing that I would say, the blessing that we have is we have a very exciting program. You know, we can talk about all the bells and whistles that talk about the, you know, the pomp and circumstance, the pageantry of a game. But in actuality, the key component, the main entree is the game. And I think our young people compete as well as anyone. Therefore, I think we're putting a great product out there that people would like to see. As it relates to the experience, you know, there's challenges all throughout this nation. I think it's been well noted that attendance at sporting events is being challenged, and not just in basketball, but in football. When you've got a legendary program like Alabama and Nick Saban, you know, pleading for people to come out to come to the games.
And not leave
early. That tells you a little bit about kind of where things are. So what we're experiencing is that we're starting to understand that when you put on a production that is called an athletic contest or a game, it's no longer just the game. It is an event, and it is an experience that these fans must appreciate. So what we're trying to do is trying to figure out how to capture some of those experiences that may go beyond just the game itself. We have challenges in our building just from an infrastructure standpoint. So when I say that, the social media pieces, which are large pieces in our community today, those can be challenges that challenging for all of us. And that's not helping our experience. And therefore, is that a deterrent to get people to come to the game? I don't know. But it's something that we have to constantly address and think about. We're constantly figuring out how we can serve different facets of our community and get them all to believe that this is their Fresno State. That's the key.
We're talking with the Director of Athletics at Fresno State, Terry Toomey, leading up to a 7:30 pregame show tonight with Paul Leffler and Coach Q, and then 8:30 tip, Utah State, Fresno State. As you lay that out, Terry, there's obviously a corporate component in the Central Valley and beyond. There is the component of looking at large names from this university, like an Aaron Judge, Paul George, Derek Carr, and so on. But I really believe that part of what you're talking about begins with the students.
Yep.
It begins with students doing one very simple thing, and that is filling the student section at Bulldog Stadium and at Save Mart Center. And I have been at every game except for two, between football and basketball this year, and I have seen varying degrees of the areas being filled, usually on the side of not being filled. How does the athletic department proceed to map out a strategy to encourage students to be there? Because with basketball, you and I both know that's a huge advantage when you have a big student section.
Absolutely. I experienced it firsthand. When we, I'll give you a perfect example, when we went down to San Diego State this past year, you know, Hutt was coming back. You know, he cut his teeth there and served a lot of years there. And they had just come off an amazing win against Nevada. And I tell you what, there, and it was senior night. So there couldn't have been a better crowd. And it started with the student section. The student section was absolutely incredible, jam-packed. And fortunately for us, we have a real blue-collar team that loves to play in hostile environments. And we were successful that night, even though we got down very late in the game,
yeah,
came back and won
72-66
with
a minute 18 to go.
Really tough.
Yep.
And I was there with them, and I tell you what, I couldn't have been prouder of these young people and how they performed. But yeah, the students are extremely important, and what we've tried to do is we've tried to have communications with our students and say, you know, what would you like to see at the games, and how can we make this a better experience, not just a fan experience for one game, but how can we make this a lasting experience in your educational career that will make you a bulldog for life, that can keep you coming back. So we've done some things that, I have to be honest with you, they've been quietly controversial at times in terms of some of the things that we try to incorporate to make sure that it's a festive atmosphere for our young people. So we incorporated a DJ this year.
He's a friend of mine.
Oh, and he's done an amazing job. He's really been good. But as you could probably tell, you know, sometimes some of the taste of our older clientele may not appreciate.
I've heard from them.
Yeah.
I have heard from them on the show, and I've heard from them in the stands.
And so have we. So we're gonna address and just, you know, not completely, you know, trash or just,
right,
you know, throw out some of the things we've done. But there's ways we can modify it to make it where it's appealing to all. We also basically have what I consider a hype woman. You know, Kimmy has done a great job for us. She has a great social media following. She is a Fresno product and is so proud to be from Fresno, and we really enjoy what Kimmy brings to the table for us. So, you know, we've tried to do some of that because she appeals to such a broad audience and a broad audience in our community. But we need to continue to do more. We need to continue to figure out what it is going to take to get our students in. But also, you know, we also have to figure out how to get the rest of our community in as well. You know, and as you can tell, it's not just by having a successful program. Because
right,
I'm seeing the successful program in both football and basketball, and yet we still have not figured out the secret sauce yet.
We're
just trying to figure it out.
There's a lot to unpack there. We're visiting with Terry Toomey, Director of Athletics. Look at New Mexico. They're 14-18, and they packed the pit.
Yeah.
They packed the pit. And, you know, DJ K. Rich is a friend of mine. He's a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. Kimmy, I don't know Kimmy personally. I mean, full transparency, I'm not a big fan of that because I'm more college band. Mm-hmm. Give me the band. But I think, it, to be fair, you test and measure. Mm-hmm. You try to see what can we do that's going to jazz the place up and get the fans going. Has there been any consideration? And this is something, Terry, that I hear from fans a lot about. Has there been any consideration, and this would probably be controversial for donors, taking 5 or 10 rows down one side of the court and putting students there like they do in so many arenas around the country?
Mm-hmm. You know what? We would love to. You know, I think when you start reseeding, you have to be careful of that because reseeding comes, those seating obligations come contractually.
Right.
You know, so therefore there has to be a campaign set afoot to say, okay, here, as we have ended or concluded our season, let's think about how we can better serve our students, but also better have a better experience. Are you willing to partner with us? So those are things that we're thinking about for sure. I think the students, I will be the first to say, our arena, even though it's absolutely beautiful, the Safe Mart is a wonderful venue. But if you notice from other places, even the one we're here at right now, there is not a lot of room between that floor and your fans, and it gives a very intimate and fun environment.
Fantastic.
We are challenged in the fact that logistically we are a little bit farther away.
Yeah.
That's a good point. And it makes it a lot. It's a different feel as it relates to the stadium. However, I still believe that there are ways in which we can address that. We can do a better job of that.
We're talking with Terry Toomey, Director of Athletics, Fresno State. Just a couple of more things for you. I know you have a line of people that want to talk to you about here, so we're going to get you to them.
You said
something before we jumped on, and I think it was really spot on. You and I are both Pac-12 guys, or Pac-10 guys, as it were. And you talked about how we were talking about how they are down this year in basketball, but mm-hmm. but sports go in cycles in conferences. You look at times when you're getting 7-8 teams in, other times they're going to be lucky to have more than one bid this year. It seems like right now we are at the precipice of the Mountain West making a big turn up, and I'm talking about the two revenue generating sports in football and basketball. Would you agree?
I totally agree. I feel as though our conference has done an amazing job of becoming extremely competitive. And I think our conference leaders, I think our conference as a whole, has done a great job of trying to showcase and enhance the teams that are here and part of our partnership. And I think that has bode well for us. You saw it in football. Of course, we had a great season this year. We really were blessed with a perfect storm, per se, in terms of having a great coach, great seniors, great team camaraderie, and that team was destined to do great things, and they did it, and they were wonderful, and we're so proud of them. But in that same campaign, you had a really, really good Utah State team that finished very strong, a really good Boise State team that historically has done well and continued to do well. So everything moved forward. We're finding the same thing in basketball. You know, Nevada came in, and Nevada is a team that has done a great job in their non-conference and scheduling and are very competitive and have really shown and have really kind of lived in the top 10 this past season.
Very much so.
You know, they've been highly ranked. I don't think they've ever dropped lower than 15. And literally that has kind of led the way for us, but then you look at that, and you look at what Utah State has done, and Utah State has had an amazing campaign this year. And us, of course, under Coach Hudson, I feel as though we've had a great campaign with all the departures and losses that we've had, and for us to put together a collection of young people has been absolutely incredible.
Last thing for you, and I don't normally ask this question, but I'm going to go ahead and ask you because you're the man. Prediction for tonight?
You know what? It's so funny. When you were talking about the tightness of the games and you kind of mentioned we have the overtime show, I'm thinking, I don't know if that overtime show is going to be on time.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. It's going to be nip and tuck tonight, I think.
It's going to be a tight contest.
Yep.
And quite honestly, I'm always going to go with the Bulldogs. I feel as though this is our year, this is our contest, and we're going to win. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to be a war. It's going to be really good. It's going to be great basketball.
And I think because you know you talked about a blue collar team, and it's there's going to be more Utah State fans than Fresno State fans
tonight,
unless folks got in their car, and I hope they did. But Utah State travels well,
yeah. And
they're here and they're loud, and I like that. As you pointed out with San Diego State, I like this. I spoke with Deshaun Taylor this morning at breakfast. I was a couple tables away, and you can just see their faces. They just live for this kind of a moment with that kind of an atmosphere.
Oh yeah, these young men are gritty. They take on the persona of their coach.
Mm-hmm.
They have on, you know, they have on their bags, you know, defense travel, so they play amazing defense. I know we're known, you know, for our 3-point shooting, but these guys are tenacious, and that tenacity, I think, will take us over the top.
He is the director of athletics, Terry Toomey. I can't thank you enough for stopping by, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Chris. You know, I love being on the show and what you do for us. Thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. This is the CGP.
Fresno State basketball is brought to you by Freedom RV. Twice the selection in an all-new location. Take North Avenue off Highway 99. And by A-plus signs. It's not bragging if you can do it.
Coming up in a couple of minutes, we're going to welcome the executive producer of the Mountain West Network. He's a big deal, and he's a good guy. A very talented guy, Jesse Kurtz. He is going to be joining me just a couple of minutes from now. I think that the points that were made by Terry Toomey are fair. I think a lot of you have reached out to me, and the biggest question, and Terry and I have talked about this on air. We didn't do it today, but we've talked about it on air. We've talked about it off air. Is a lot of folks with Terry arriving. Terry, for as extrovert of a guy as he is, for as friendly and engaging of a guy that he is, Terry is not the guy that is going to be walking up and down Blackstone or walking through the streets of Clovis or going down to Sanger and having a sandwich board on telling everybody what he's doing. That's not how he operates. So for everybody who, and I mean every one of you who's reached out to me, I love that you are so engaged. I love that you are so interested in the betterment of Fresno State athletics, but it is a process. And part of that process is really getting fundraising, getting layers of and upon layers, bringing in more money for this university to be able to do the kinds of things that he wants to do, that the entirety of the athletics department wants to do, that fans want to do, that players want to have in place for them. So it's, you know, he's just not that guy. He's not going to be the guy going out and advertising for himself. If you joined us late, where the heck have you been? Coming up, as I said, a couple of minutes, we're going to have Jesse Kurtz on, 6:05. We're going to give you last night's presser. It was fascinating stuff listening to Deshaun Taylor and Aguirre Gao and Nate Grimes. Aguirre Gao, what a night that he had last night. You think of him, you think of Aguirre as this, you know, 6'7", 6'8" guy with a massive wingspan and a guy who is terrific 7 or 8 feet and into the from the basket and in. And then you see him outside last night just launching threes, made his first four, ended up finishing 4 for 6 from three, 6 for 10 from the field, 16 points. You had four Bulldog players in double figures last night. Most notably, though, and this is something that has to be a concern for the Dogs, at least to the extent that I don't think the Dogs are looking at Braxton Huggins having back-to-back games like he had last night and having a game like last night again tonight. But Braxton had a tough night. He was 0 for 11 from the field. That included being 0 for 8 from 3. He did have 4 assists, but it was just one of those nights. His defensive intensity, and I mentioned this in the post game, his defensive intensity was fantastic. And you wonder how much of that took away from his ability at the offensive end. And where we were sitting, you could see the frustration on his face. I don't think you had to be sitting as close as we were to understand how frustrating he was. And he wasn't pressing. You know, he wasn't taking bad shots. The shots that Braxton was putting up, and you watch the game, you know, he was getting good looks. And he was trying to find, I mean, he was certainly trying to keep his teammates engaged. I mean, he had a good game from a couple of different angles, but he had a rough night offensively. I've got to believe that going up against this Utah State team, you know, a team that's got guys like Sam Merrill, Abel Porter, and, of course, Keita in the middle, you know, that guy's just a monster. I got to believe that he's going to be completely dialed in and ready to go tonight. All right, coming up in just a couple of minutes, we will welcome in the executive producer of the Mountain West Network. He's the guy you see kind of the master of ceremonies in football and basketball. Just everything sort of revolves around him, and he's Jesse Kurtz. He will be joining us in just a minute. This is the Christopher Gabriel Program live from Thomas & Mack Center in Las Vegas. Tip-off time tonight for Utah State and Fresno State, 8:30 p.m. Paul Loeffler and Coach Q on the call. Don't you go anywhere.
Fresno State Basketball is brought to you by Freedom RV. They have an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating. And by A-plus Signs. It's not bragging if you can do it.
Live from the Thomas & Mack Center in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, in the FanFest area, resplendent in its glow from the sun coming through the windows, the floor-to-ceiling windows. I don't really know what direction we're facing. It could be north. It could be northwest. I'm not really sure. But we are gearing up for an 8:30 tip tonight. Fresno State, Utah State's going to be a tough game, fun game to watch. It's going to be loud in there. Utah State fans are going to be just like they were last night, although they were outnumbered by New Mexico fans. Hopefully a bigger showing for Fresno State fans. You know, I had a chance to meet for the first time. I've known the name for quite some time, Jesse Kurtz. He is the executive producer of the Mountain West Network. And I was talking with Paul Loeffler last night. Paul's like, you really got to get Jesse on. I said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. And then I realized that it would take the first half hour here just to go through his extensive bio and awards. And I don't say that with any kind of cynicism. He's quite a talent. He joins me right now. It's good to have you aboard.
Well, I appreciate it. That's what happens when you have your mom write the bio for you.
See, I hear you. I hear you. Mine needs to learn from your mom. You've been an NFL sideline reporter. You've worked television in Colorado Springs. You've been all over the place. You seem like this is the perfect position for the diverse background that you've had to prepare you for this.
Well, the great thing about this job is I've been a part of the league since it started. I was at the very first Mountain West football game between Colorado State and BYU in 1999. And on that day was doing some contract work and did a story that day with Kirk Herbstreit, Lee Corso, and Mike Tirico on the birth of this new league. Wow. And, you know, where it's headed. And, you know, they all had great things to say about the league back in 1999, why it was founded, the leaders that were leading the direction for the league, and they all saw great things. And obviously the league has done unbelievable things with the first to crack into BCS bowls and you know, with Utah going to the Fiesta Bowl, beating Pitt, and then beating Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and you know, then it goes to the Boise States and the TCUs, and you know, now I think we've had a resurgence in this league, and to see it from 1999 on the ground floor with my own two eyes to now be working for the league for the last 6 years, I feel like the Mountain West is part of my blood. I've lived in the Mountain West, born in the Mountain West, and have just seen and really become a fan of every single institution, whether it's a charter member from 1999 or, you know, Fresno State that is relatively still new to the league. Everyone has added significant value, and it's been fun having a front row seat for that.
My guest is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer for the Mountain West Network. That doesn't really begin to tell the amount of things that he does for the network. You know, you brought back a couple of things. Utah, I remember that Utah-Alabama Sugar Bowl, and TCU and Boise State certainly. One of the things that I've hit forever on my program back in Fresno, and I talked with Brett Gilliland about it yesterday, Jesse, is I'm going to play the homer card now. Sure. I find it frustrating that on the national stage we hear so much about the American Conference or the Ohio Valley or any of those conferences, which are certainly no better than this conference. How much does that frustrate you? Because you just listed off a whole bunch of accomplishments, and I was just talking with Terry Toomey, as you saw, and this conference right now, in terms of cycles, seems to be on the upswing with football and basketball.
I think we are. Look, let's be honest. If we're looking ourselves in the mirror, we had a downtrend there for a while. When you lose the amount of firepower that you have in TCU and BYU and Utah, you're going to take a step back. Those became elite national programs. But you filled with great upcoming programs like Fresno State, like Nevada. And you start trending upwards. And to your point, it is frustrating. And there is something, too. I've been all over the country doing games now and working for folks in New York and in Miami and Chicago. There is a bias. The Mountain time zone, understanding Fresno is in the Pacific time zone, the Mountain time zone is a forgotten time zone. There's a reason people call it that. You know, it's never talked about. The games are at an awkward time sometimes for those in the East Coast. It may start a little bit earlier than on the West Coast. So it is what it is. But when you've got teams that go punk Alabama on a big stage, and that was a good Alabama team, beat an upstart Pitt team that was really good that year, when TCU and Utah are meeting as top five opponents, and then, you know, basketball, there was a time not too long ago that quarterfinal and semifinal night here was just electric. You had four top 25 teams, big things at stake. You already knew these teams were going to the NCAA tournament. It's just, could they increase their seed? Yeah, we've been in some one and done, one-bid leagues here. And if you lose, you're done. You're not going to the tournament. And I think we're now getting out of that. Hopefully right now the Mountain West sits with two teams in. Utah State starting to get that love nationally, which is nice to see because that would be a team that, you know, maybe in recent years would have been forgotten about. Oh, that's cute, that team in Logan. They've done some great things, and Craig Smith has done some great things. So to your point, it is frustrating. We do think we're more like, you know, the so-called Power Five or the Autonomous Five than the rest. But you got to keep proving it. You got to keep going out and winning games.
Would you say it's a fair comparison that where Nevada has been the last couple of years, it's similar to when Gonzaga hit the national scene? Because when Gonzaga hit the national scene, they were the cute little team from Spokane.
Sure.
And then a second year, and then a third year. And if Nevada is able to sustain this after this, they aren't the cute little team anymore from Reno. They're a powerhouse.
Yeah, it's about consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Because everyone loves that one team that makes a run, and then you forget about them. That's what March is about. I mean, UMBC, they make that great run, and you know, you kind of forget about them. But Gonzaga did it every single year, and they advanced to the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight. Look, we haven't had many teams advance, you know,
right,
in the tournament, unfortunately. We've never had a team go to the Elite Eight. We're hoping that maybe Nevada or Utah State or a team here, Fresno State, who is playing as good as anyone on the West Coast right now, can make that sort of run that maybe they surprise a few teams and then they find themselves deep into that second weekend. But, you know, what Gonzaga has done is just establish a model of consistency. And you just have to be relentless with that time and time again, year in and year out, where you become the household name and not that cute little team in that small town out west.
My guest is Jesse Kurtz. He's the executive producer of the Mountain West Network. When you watch Mountain West Network, you've certainly seen him. You've seen him in a lot of different places in terms of the kind of work that he does. You've seen him interviewing people at the end of the Mountain West Championship game, football game, what have you. When you look at networks like the SEC Network, it's a bigger network. It's a more prominent network. They have more money behind them. When you look at them and other league networks, do you try to draw things from them and bring them into here?
100%. And you know, we're not afraid to copy what someone else is doing and maybe model it and gear it to what we can do financially or staff-wise. But, you know, this year we added a post-game show after every game. That's something that, yeah, the SEC Network would do. You have an in venue set where right after the game you bring some players and coaches up, you sit them down, you talk about that, you hire a production crew to roll some video over that, and, you know, make it feel big time. And that's new this year for us. We haven't ever done that. We've done, you know, interviews on the sideline after games. Everybody does that. And we said, how can we do something that maybe amplifies it a little bit, take some buy-in from the coaches, both in their time and their commitment, but they've been great about it. And the women coaches specifically have all exited the stage and said, thank you, this felt big time, which is great because a lot of times, unfortunately, women's basketball can be overlooked in the resources that are put to it, and that's not the way it should be. And the fact that we gave them a stage to come up and voice, you know, their happiness and their excitement about their program and what they're doing and their win, you know, they felt big time. And that makes us feel good because that's what we're trying to do. We are here and funded by the institutions and the administrators. So if we can help their coaches feel big time, then I think we've done our job.
How does the Mountain West Network, Jesse, take where you're at right now? How do you go from there and take it up to another level?
Yeah. Well, it's production value. It's complete buy-in on the campuses to continue to reinvest in the product. You know, we started this 6 years ago. We outfitted every single school with what they needed to broadcast a sporting event, whether it be a softball game, a basketball game, a track and field event with 4 cameras, HD with graphics. Well, you know, there has to be a constant reinvestment in that. You know, ESPN didn't get good by just putting a model in place and then not touching it and say go. Yeah, you constantly retweak and you constantly make sure you have good people running it. And we have that. But we're now reaching the point where, okay, how do we take it up the next level? That takes time. That takes staff commitment. It takes money. And I'm fortunate enough to work for a commissioner that believes in what we're doing digitally. So to get more games at a higher production value where, you know, you're not seeing some streams interrupted, you have some higher-end broadcasters on it. I do think there's value in bringing students in on some of this stuff, on a softball game or something, because at the end of the day, we're a teaching tool. I mean, we represent institutions of higher learning to give them that opportunity, but we want the product to be as good as it can. So the reinvestment, get everything we can streamed and out there for Fresno State fans to watch baseball, to watch softball, watch track and field, in a multi-camera situation. We want that to be commonplace rather than, wow, that was a good broadcast. We want it to be expected. We always have good broadcasts.
I'll give you a sidebar. I spent a lot of years in news talk, and one of the things that I used to always say back in the Midwest was when you have high school boards, have a student on that school board because you need to get a student voice. I don't care if he or she is voting or not. Get the student perspective because everything you're doing is about them.
Yeah.
You mentioned ESPN. Have you gotten yet, has Jesse Kurtz gotten yet the attitude from some fans where, well, you know, Jesse's kind of a Boise State guy, or Jesse's the favorite? How do you deal with that?
Say yes. I am a Boise State guy. But you know what? I'm also a Fresno State guy. You know, I do love all 12 of my children. it's funny in that, you know, I have this long history with the league, just being around it. But I went to Colorado State, so I'm always going to be accused of, well, that's a Ram. I work on the Air Force football broadcast. I'm one of the broadcasters for Air Force football, so I travel with them. So then I'm an Air Force guy. Well, God, he's always talking about Boise State. Well, guess what? They win a lot. Oh, he's always talking about Fresno State. Well, guess what? They won a football championship. It's easy to talk about those things, and that's what we were hired to do, shed light on all the great things and our champions. So if you win, you get talked about. And if you put investment into things, then you win, and then you get talked about. So there's a trend there, but you're right. Yeah, absolutely. Why do you always talk about School X? and said, well, they do a heck of a job promoting themselves and getting in front of us and saying, hey, would you be willing to? And then the other thing is, you know, we talk about winners. At the end of the day, you've got to win to get your brand out there. And that's not always just winning on the scoreboard. That could be winning in the classroom, doing great things in your community. Wins can be defined in many ways, and we'll talk about all those victories. But, you know, fans are fans, and I get it. I'm a fan, too, and you always look through your lens and you get accused of that. But that's okay. I am a fan of Boise State. I'm also a fan of Fresno State, San Jose State, Air Force, and the list goes on.
A couple more things, because I want to get you out of here, because I know the San Diego State and Nevada game is going to be tipping shortly. As a broadcaster, you mentioned the relationships that you have with different schools, all the schools in the conference. What's your biggest challenge?
Ooh, the biggest challenge is staffing for our broadcast, because as you know, it takes a lot to put on a good broadcast, and it takes very little to screw it up. So
truer words were never spoken.
I'm telling
true.
You, this is a hard business.
Yes.
And when you make it look easy, sometimes that can be your biggest challenge, because you know what? They can do it with less. They can do it. No, it takes a lot to make it look good. So our biggest challenge is just getting that relentless consistency from everybody to make sure that you have the resources put forth to make the product great, because if one thing goes wrong in a broadcast, it can snowball, and then you're exposed. We talk about a lot, we want great exposure, we don't want to be exposed. It's just making sure that if we're going to do something, let's not do it halfway. Let's make sure we do it to the best that we can with the resources we're giving, and not be, you know, trying to pull off, you know, here and a little bit here. We got to make it look good, because at the end of the day, if that looks bad, the institution looks bad, that coach looks bad, and then we look bad. So that's a challenge, because at the end of the day, these coaches are out there to win games, not put on good broadcasts. But I think the two can go hand in hand if everybody can buy in.
We're getting near tip time. I don't want to keep any longer. It's great to meet you in person. And,
likewise.
And you do a terrific job with the network, and just nothing but continued success, my friend.
Well, I appreciate your time. Appreciate the interest in the Mountain West, and thanks for being here.
Absolutely. This is the Christopher Gabriel Program.
Fresno State Basketball is brought to you by Freedom RV, the People's Choice Award-winning RV dealer for Fresno, and by A-Plus Signs. It's not bragging if you can do it.
Christopher Gabriel Program live from FanFest on the concourse of Thomas and Mack Center in beautiful downtown, not really downtown Las Vegas. I mean, is it anywhere not downtown in Las Vegas? I mean, well, I guess when you get a little bit further off the strip, sure. Getting ready for Nevada and San Diego State. Just saw a whole slew of Nevada fans in here. Got some great music going off to our right, and they're all dancing in front of me. And maybe I didn't really want to see that, but they were doing it anyway. We're happy for them. So we'll watch that game. Keep our eyes on that game tonight, and then of course 8:30 p.m. we have Fresno State and Utah State. Should be a great game. We'll be talking a lot more about this game coming up in the next 90 minutes. We're going to give you the press conference from last night's Fresno State Air Force game. Not the Air Force one. Even though the Air Force one was really impressive. I have to tell you that it'd be great if we grabbed that audio. But I just listening to a couple of the Air Force players, and I spoke with three of them this morning. They were in the same restaurant here in the hotel that Fresno State's in, and I had a chance to briefly chat with Deshaun Taylor, and then I went and sat with, didn't really sit down, but I spoke with three Air Force players, and just really, really classy young men. But Fresno State fans, all you should know this. Dave Pilipovich, I'm probably saying his name wrong, and I'm sorry, but he had a lot of things to say about Fresno State and about Justin Hutson. You would have enjoyed hearing it, because here's a guy who is a stand-up guy, a very classy guy, and if you're going to be coaching one of the service academies, you would hope that you have a leader like him. But he went on and on. In earnest, went on and on and on about Justin Hutson and the kind of leader he is, the kind of coach that he is, and the kind of future that this program has underneath the leadership of Justin Hutson. It was just really fun to listen to that, and to hear these athletes go up there and say, you know what, we went into Fresno, and we got the better of them, and they came out tonight, and they just took it to us, and you know, no excuses. And that's, you know, you wouldn't expect any. And so it was very interesting to listen to what they had to say. So we're going to talk a lot. We're going to give you the presser. I'm going to talk with Tony D. I will be talking with Coach Q. And then, of course, 7:30. Just keep this on your dials here. Keep us on your dials here. 7:30 p.m. Coach Q along with Paul Leffler with the pregame show. And then 8:30 is the tip. And then it'll be the postgame. And then I will be doing, we're calling it Bulldog Overtime. And we'll welcome your calls, good, bad, or indifferent. No matter what the Dogs do tonight, win or lose, we want to welcome you to give us a call right after the postgame show. We'll be for about 20 minutes, nothing too long, because we want to get your take. We want to get your take, your feel, your vibe. If they lose, what you thought. If they win, your view of the Nevada game or the San Diego State game tomorrow. And you know the number, 844-940-3776. A lot of basketball being played around the country right now. Let me just take you in on a little bit of this. In the Big East semifinal, Villanova, number 25, Villanova and Xavier, they are in overtime. And there are 3 seconds left. It looks like Nova is going to hold on here. Nova just got fouled. They're up 69-67, and they are going to the line. And unless we get a miracle play from Xavier here, if Nova misses a free throw, it's 70-67 now. One more free throw, and that game will be over. In the ACC, 2:15 to go in the second half. Virginia, number 2, Virginia, is trailing Florida State, 64-56. Is Florida State the quiet Cinderella coming out of the ACC? They are they're ranked 12th, but still, nobody expected them to make a lot of noise in the ACC tournament. Going up against Virginia tonight, the thought was, well, this will be the end of the road for them, but they're going to get an NCAA tournament berth, and they'll probably get a 3 or 4 seed somewhere. But they're up 8 on Virginia right now. And Virginia, they've got some of their players on the court that were there last year for the UMBC NCAA loss, number 16-seeded UMBC. Some of them have to be thinking, here we go again. We're potentially losing to a team that, in this case, is a good team, but we shouldn't be losing to them. Well, they're down 8 right now. In the SEC, 2:28 to go in the second half. This is out of Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. That's the home of the Nashville Predators. Kentucky, as expected, up on Alabama, 67-55. That lead should hold. In the Big Ten, 27 seconds to go, number 13, Purdue, is trailing the Minnesota Golden Gophers, 74-71. 27 seconds to play in that one. And in the Big 12 semifinals, you have Iowa State up on number 15, Kansas State, 59-55. You see a pattern here? There's 36 seconds to go. Are you seeing a pattern here? You're seeing teams that are higher seeded in their conference tournaments and teams that are ranked or ranked higher than their opponent trailing right now. You've got that in the Kansas State game. You have that in the Purdue game. You have that in the Virginia game. And the Villanova game has gone final, 71-67. That's one ranked team that did win. But you have 3 ranked teams right now that are trailing in their conference tournaments. I say this only because, you know, most people have thought much higher of Utah State. Utah State's been ranked at times, certainly this year. And you talk to folks around the country, and most, at least the ones that I've talked to today, are thinking Utah State walks away with this tonight. I'm not sure walk away with it is the right phrase. Looking around at the American Athletic Conference quarterfinals, Cincinnati, ranked 24, they beat SMU 82-74. Michigan State in the Big Ten quarterfinal, they're ranked 6th. They defeated Ohio State 77-70. Here's another case of a ranked team going down. Number 9, LSU, regular season champions in the Southeastern Conference, the number 1 seed in the tournament. They go down on a last-second 3, literally with 1 second to go, to Florida. The Florida Gators win 76-73. And LSU, of course, they've got more things on their mind with the whole Will Wade situation with the FBI wiretap. UConn in the American Athletic Conference in the quarterfinal, they lose to a number 11 Houston, 84-45. Buffalo in the MAC tournament semifinal, they win 85-81. Wisconsin in the Big Ten quarterfinals, they beat Nebraska 66-62. And Auburn in the quarters of the SEC, number 22 Auburn, they win 73-64. Coming up, We're going to give you the press conference from last night. Good stuff from Deshaun Taylor, Nate Grimes, and Aguirre Agao. This is the CGP Live from Las Vegas.
The studios of 940 ESPN in Fresno, California. This is the Christopher Gabriel Program.
Hour number two of 2.5 hours begins right now, 5 minutes 38 seconds past the hour of 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Saving Time. Glad to have you aboard. Live from Thomas and Mack Center here in Las Vegas. Pre-game show coming up at 7:30, and then the tip-off at 8:30. San Diego State and Nevada, I'm just looking up, and they just had the starting lineups, and they're just getting ready to get tipped off here, and tipped off here at Thomas and Mack Center. Last night, had a chance to sit in on all the post-game pressers, and it's always interesting to hear where players are at, coaches are at, and so on. And the Fresno State post-game presser was interesting because you had three guys up there. You didn't have Braxton Huggins, who you normally would expect up there because he's such a consistent performer. He had a rough night last night, but you had, as you'll hear, Deshaun Taylor, Aguirre Agao, and Nate Grimes. You had Justin Hudson up there, and we wanted you to hear, in case some of you didn't get a chance to hear, their thoughts on last night's 26-point win over Air Force coming off a 3-point loss a few weeks ago to Air Force back at Save Mart Center. Wanted you to hear exactly what they had to say, and here it is.
It's a 76.
For Fresno State, we have student athletes, Sean Taylor, Nate Grimes, Coach Justin Hudson. Coach, if we can start with you, just some comments and thoughts on tonight's game.
I thought our defensive intensity was another level tonight. We picked up and we wanted to pressure them a little bit, and they give hats off to them. They came into Save Mart Center in Fresno and kicked our butt, and I think we had our guys' attention. And they're a great staff over there. What they run is very hard to guard, but I was very proud of our guys with paying attention to detail what we were doing on the defensive end.
Thank you, Coach. Questions?
Hey, Coach.
How you doing? I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. How much do you think that performance on Saturday, you know, seeing the ball go through the hoop against San Jose State and just kind of carried over maybe to tonight?
You know, you guys asked me those things, and I don't know if they really carry over or not, to tell you the truth. I just know that we try to practice hard every day, and we come out and want to be confident every day. I mean, Braxton made 10 threes in that game, and he didn't make many tonight. So I don't know about the carryover. I just think we have a good team that likes to share the ball. Deshaun had 10 assists tonight and one turnover. So when you do that and the ball is moving, I think we have a chance to make some shots.
You said you kind of saw that the team, you know, was ready to kind of avenge that Air Force loss, or that you had their attention with regards to that. When did you notice that, and were you seeing different things in practice in the lead-up?
We've been practicing very well, actually. But I do know there was a little extra edge with it being the postseason and also with playing Air Force, who beat us at home.
Deshaun, you know, this being your last go-around here in the Mountain West Tournament, I mean, just how dialed in or how focused in are you, you know, with regards to this tournament?
I'm just taking one game at a time, but I feel like everybody's real dialed in right now. And just try to play as hard as we can every night.
What was different about tonight as opposed to at the Save Mart Center when Air Force beat you guys?
Better defense and I'll say better ball movement. We got 23 assists, 9 turnovers. Last time at our place, we didn't move the ball as well. We had a lot of turnovers, and that's what helped them get the win.
Aguirre, you've been working on your shot?
I have, yeah.
what happened tonight?
I mean, me and Coach Sheldon, our assistant, we just get in the gym every single day, and we work on pace and rhythm. So, I mean, that's just what I focused on today when I was shooting.
How good does it feel to see the ball go through the hoop like that?
Oh, it feels great. It feels great.
Deshaun, one comment on the game that Aguirre had. What could he mean to your team when he's playing like that?
Well, he means everything to us. When Sam got in foul trouble, he come in and just play his game. I just tell him, be confident in your game. Shoot the shots you shoot, and everything will fall into place.
All right, so Utah State, you've won. Both those games have been decided by 2 points total this year. Yeah. Why have those matchups been so competitive?
Two great teams. It's just two great teams. Two real well-coached teams try to go out there and win, and it shows.
This is for both Aguirre and Deshaun. Aguirre, you're long, you're lean, but when you go out to the arc and you're draining threes, you are giving space to Deshaun, to Braxton. Deshaun, how big of a help is it when you have a guy like Aguirre with his size being able to draw the defense out to the arc?
Well, that's kind of what our whole team, everybody can shoot. And me getting my guys involved as much as I can will open the lanes for me and open the lanes for our other point guards as well.
Nate, big challenge going up against Cater tomorrow. What is the key for you going up against a team that has that kind of size, a player that has that kind of size and mobility?
Go hard. You got to go hard. That's all it is.
And watching this game tonight and seeing Braxton Huggins having a tough night, but it seemed more because his defensive intensity was so deep. Did you guys find a different level going back to those last few minutes of the San Diego State game where it looked like it was a loss and suddenly magic in a bottle?
What do you mean?
What I mean is it seems like this team has taken the defensive intensity that you have to a different level, and it seemed to go to that level in those last couple of minutes in that San Diego State game.
I'll say this scout report. We've seen teams, when they press Air Force, they kind of turn the ball over a little bit. So we kind of just try to do the same thing, and it helped for us.
Coach, you're one of the three coaches in the quarters of the eight head coaches coached under Fish. What does that say about the impact he's had in this game?
For Coach Fish, he's a great man. He's a better man than he is a coach, you know, and he's a really good coach. So I was happy I had a chance to work for him and learn from him.
Coach, could we see more of the press tomorrow? I know you don't want to give away the game plan, but, you know, Utah State turned the ball over 24 times tonight against the New Mexico press. I guess let me ask you this. How effective and how different does your team play when it's pressing, getting out and running, and, you know, bringing that kind of intensity defensively?
It jump starts us a little bit more. It makes us play a little harder at the start. You know, we've had problems with bad starts before. We wanted to put some pressure on Air Force and not be on our heels. We wanted to try to put them on our heels. If we were a little deeper, we could do it a little bit more. But we'll see tomorrow.
And just talk a little bit about that Utah State matchup. You know, it's Friday night. It's the Mountain West Tournament. And you two guys have been nip and tuck this year. I mean, what is it about these two teams that you guys seem to match up with each other really well?
A lot of good players out on the floor. You know, so it's a tough matchup for both teams. And hats off to them. They've had a great season. Hats off to our guys. We've had a good season. So it's going to be an exciting game tomorrow.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you for coming down, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I thought what was interesting last night was that they, you know, defense kept coming up into it. And, you know, hearing them off the podium, hearing them a little bit this morning, you got a quiet confidence from them. Who knows how the game's going to play out tonight, but there was a definite quiet confidence about this team coming off the floor last night. And we can't just say, well, it was Air Force. Of course they beat them by 26, because, again, they came into Save Mart Center and beat them. This team last night was pressing well into the end of the game. I mean, they were pressing. They were all over the court. And it was, again, clear. I asked Tarvish Felton about this after that blowout of San Jose State. I asked him, you were pressing, were you trying different things and so on? And he said they were. And it was clear that you were getting a little bit of that last night. But you also, I think you also saw Justin Hudson not wanting this team to be sitting on the bench and high-fiving and laughing and joking. You got a sense that he wanted them engaged, fully engaged, start to finish in this game, and that's what he got. But I want to talk for a moment, and we'll talk about this with Tony D in a minute. If you woke up and you saw the final score in the Utah State-New Mexico game, 91-83, that does not begin to tell the story of what went on here at Thomas and Mack last night, because there was a point with 15:08 remaining in the game. It was New Mexico 52-44 up on Utah State, and the thousands of Lobos fans who were there were bringing the house down. The place was deafening. It was madness in there. And then 19 seconds later, at the 14:49 mark, this is where the game felt like it changed just a little bit. You had a foul. You had a foul on New Mexico, and then you had a technical foul called on the New Mexico coach, and that turned into a four-point play. And before you knew it, 3 minutes later, the game was tied at 57. You had little runs back and forth with both teams, but it clearly gave a little bit of juice to Utah State. They weren't running around chaotic and seemingly lost on the court, but they were out of their rhythm. This was not the same Utah State team that you expected to see out there, and this game was going in the direction of a New Mexico win. But as you know, it went back and forth. The game was tied at 78 all with 3:13 remaining, and then you know from that point on, it was a 13-5 run that was a couple of different things. One, listen, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't like to say this normally. It's some very questionable officials' calls. Is that why they lost the game? No. But there were some very questionable calls in the game. But I think more telling about why they lost that game is the way it wasn't so much Sam Merrill, because Merrill, you know, you expect Merrill to be a shooting machine out there. Sam Merrill last night, he had 23 points, but it was a quiet 23. It wasn't what you normally get from Sam Merrill. You had more penetration going to the bucket. You got that from him. You got that from some of the other guards. And when they didn't have something, instead of kicking it out for a three, which they did once or twice, they would drop it off to Cada, and Cada was unstoppable in the last 3 minutes of that game. And that was the biggest takeaway for me last night, is what is Nate Grimes going to do? How is he going to approach? You know, you heard me ask Nate, you know, how do you go up against the size of Utah State? How do you go up against Cada? And he said, go hard. That's all he said. And he's right, but it's more than just going hard. They're going to have to do more. Between him and Lazaro Rojas and Christian Gray when he gets in, and Aguirre-Gao, they're all giving up size to not so much strength. They're giving up size to Cada, but he is good. I mean, he is very fluid around the basket. He handles the ball well. He's got excellent hands. He's not somebody who, you know, when he gets an offensive rebound, when you watch a guy like Cada get an offensive rebound, last night he had 6 rebounds, 5 of them on the defensive boards. He's not a guy who makes that mistake of putting the ball on the floor once where a guard or somebody a little smaller can slap it away. He understands about getting the ball and going back up. If you can force a big guy into making mistakes like that, pressuring him immediately when he gets a board on the offensive boards, then it's a whole different story. All right, coming up, we are going to talk with Tony D. Tony and I are going to talk about the Fresno State game last night. We'll look ahead to the game tonight. Tony, I believe, is going to be calling us from Staples Center. He leads a charmed and magical life in all the different places that he gets to go. We'll talk with Tony D coming up next on the CGP Live from Las Vegas. Don't you go anywhere.
Fresno State Basketball is brought to you by Freedom RV. Ask about their unique consignment program to sell your RV, and by A-Plus Signs. It's not bragging if you can do it.
Gabriel program live from the Strip Pavilion. Make of that what you will. Yes, we're a couple blocks off the Strip, but just make of it what you will. It's, you know, we have some fun with it because, you know, every now and then I got to go juvenile on you. The game inside right now, San Diego State and number one seed Nevada. It is 17-16. They just took the under 12 timeout here. It's 11:55 to go in the first half. 17-16, Nevada. Cody Martin with 9 points early. Devin Watson for San Diego State, 6 points early. You know, it seems like I haven't talked to Tony in forever, and yet I talked to him yesterday. What does that mean? I was mentioning a moment ago that Tony leads a very charmed life. He goes to stadiums all over the globe, and it must be nice to have a private jet. We welcome our good friend Tony D back onto the program. How are you, my friend?
I'm just fine, CG. It also takes two other people just to cart me around, so it's not a charmed life for anybody, believe me. Trust me on that one.
I don't even know where I want to begin. I guess let's begin with the Fresno State game last night. The game was close early, and then Fresno State just found a different gear. And I don't know that it was, well, I don't even know that it was as much a different gear, Tony, as the gear that we saw them in against San Jose State and the same gear that we saw them in for the last few minutes of the San Diego State game down at Viejas. They had an intensity about them last night, more so even on the defensive end than they did at the offensive end, although they were getting great looks all over the court. Give me your broad view of the game first.
It's a really accurate look, CG. If this were an NBA championship team, we would have said, hey, they flipped the switch, right? I mean, that's what we would be saying. We would be saying they had played the regular season getting ready for the postseason run. Right. Trouble with that for Fresno State is there isn't this history of great success in the postseason, so this team is still trying to figure it out a little bit. But the view about the defense, really right on the money, and it goes back, CG, to what we talked about after the loss on the 20th of February to Air Force here in regard to what we talk about Fresno State playing a level of focus that puts them in control of a game against an opponent that doesn't have the physical capability. And that's not to knock Air Force, but I thought Fresno State played up to Fresno State standard, not to who they were playing, which has been a problem sometimes during this year.
This is a moot point, but I am curious your thought on this. Some of us were talking about it, about this here at the arena before I went on the air. Had New Mexico won last night, the environment in here would have been bedlam because of the, if you've never been, I don't mean you, Tony, but for our listeners, if you've never been to a tournament game, you just have to be around these New Mexico fans. They're crazy, and the noise level in here was unbelievable. And, I mean, they're loud in every imaginable way. And I was saying it would have been interesting had they won last night, because I feel like the Dogs would have loved that environment in here. I don't care how many Fresno State fans come in. It's like Kentucky in the SEC. Nobody draws more fans to the SEC tournament than Kentucky. And tonight, Utah State will certainly have a lot of fans in here. They'll have a lot of fans like they did last night, but they didn't have the fans that New Mexico State did. If the arena is a little more on the quiet side, I feel like that dials up the degree of difficulty a little more for Fresno State, because with the attitude these guys have, Tony, in particular Deshaun Leonard, Nate Grimes, Braxton Huggins, they like that us against the world mentality when they feel everybody in the gym is against them.
Yeah, I think they derive energy from the crowd's energy either way. The bigger concern, like you said, is ambivalence. It's love me, hate me, don't ignore me. And, you know, you have the commercial out where you talk about liking cookies and popcorn, right? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah.
And, okay, the folks at Albuquerque, they like their basketball and they like their gambling. So with those two together, you're going to find them making the pilgrimage. Relatively reasonable drive to Vegas any chance they get. So, yes, you're right about the people, in a good way, being crazy that they're wearing their Lobo red. And I agree with you. Fresno State just likes to have a crowd that gets after it either way. There's a lot of teams that are like that, CG. They'll tell you nothing better than shutting up the other team's fans. It's kind of depressing if the other team's fans aren't there or they're not mouthing to begin with. That kind of takes the sport out of it, doesn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit. And I was sitting between two writers from the Salt Lake Tribune, and there were some Lobos fans behind me. And just a couple of minutes ago, we had Jesse Kurtz on, Before that, we had Terry Toomey on, and he was talking about the challenge of Save Mart Center, the stands down the sides of the court and behind the basket being far
right.
from the court versus here, which they're right on top of the court. I mean, they're right there, and there were some Lobos fans behind us that clearly had beveraged up before the game, and they were quite a soundtrack, and the two Salt Lake Tribune guys were not real pleased about it, but they're not going to say anything. That was the kind of environment it was, and you could see the Lobos players, Tony, just feeding off that last night. It was a fun environment to be in, not to say the least. And the reason I'm bringing this up is to work this to Fresno State. The place largely emptied out, except for the Fresno State fans who were there. There were about 100 fans, and the band was there, and they were having fun, and Air Force had their band, and they were into it. But it was, Tony, honestly, I don't know that there were 1,000 people in Thomas and Mack last night. But what impressed me, Tony, was they were intense from start to finish, and it's clear to me that Justin Hudson has gotten their attention about the fact that it's tournament time, and this ain't last year, pardon my English. This team, fellas, you guys have a chance to do something, and you need to show that tonight. You can't play down to the energy level in this arena, and, Tony, they didn't.
No, they really showed that they fully grasped the immediacy, not only for the seniors. You know Deshaun Taylor knows fully well what's at stake, but I think the team itself really feels, CG, that they are, when they're playing to their optimum, the best team in this league. And it's not to denigrate Nevada, and the national pundits would tell you that Nevada is a better team. They would probably tell you Utah State is a better team. But you know this, if you got it, that's one thing. If you know you have it, that's quite another. And I think Fresno State is convinced they have it. And I expect, and this is not a bold statement, but it's also not a homer statement, I expect the Bulldogs to win this tournament. I believe that they are playing with more immediacy than anybody else, and maybe that's because Nevada knows they're in, and most people say Utah State is in. I think the Bulldogs, obviously knowing they've got to win, have more of the energy and focus to cut down the nets tomorrow than anybody else, and I would expect they're going to do it, kind of like they did in 2016.
No doubt, and, you know, I'm sitting in here in the FanFest area. You can hear the music to our right. It's on a 1 to 10 scale. It's at 38, and yet I, just now you had a defensive breakdown for Nevada that ended in an absolute monster jam from Jalen McDaniels, and you could hear the San Diego State roar in here. It's 24-24. We're at the under 8 timeout. Let's pause here because I want to talk a little bit about that. I want to talk about your feelings that Fresno State's going to win this tournament. I don't know why, but I feel the same way. Just the way they're playing, watching these teams up close last night, all of these teams, Tony, the team that looked the best to me was Fresno State. And, I mean, I'm saying that as objectively as I can. They looked great. More with Tony D coming up. We're going to talk San Diego State, Nevada. This game going on right now. We're going to talk Fresno State, Utah State tonight. Glad you're hanging out with us live from Las Vegas and Thomas and Mack Center. This is the CGP.
Fresno State basketball is brought to you by Freedom RV. Twice the selection in an all-new location. Take North Avenue off Highway 99. And by A-plus signs. It's not bragging if you can do it.
Glad you were hanging out with us. It's been a great program. And I say that because when you have wonderful people stop by, there's nothing better. You know, yesterday, Brett Gilliland, Tony D coming by, Coach Q, Eli Betker. Today we had Terry Toomey and Jesse Kurtz, and we have our good buddy Tony D right now. San Diego State and Nevada tied at 27. Tony, I want to talk about Nevada for a second. I watched most of their game against Boise State. I'm going to tell you right now, for about 32 minutes of that game, they just didn't look that good. And watching them right now against San Diego State, again, they don't look all that good. I mean, it's a tie game, but there's been defensive breakdowns. they haven't looked fluid on offense. And that's not to say that they're not a great team, but I've said this, Tony, since the third week of this season, this is a team that is begging to be beaten.
Well, I think you're right. And, Christopher, there's a couple of issues with Nevada. They're a wonderfully talented team, but they're not real deep. And, you know, if this were an NBA club, you would make the argument that they're starting to get worn down a la James Harden, and by the time you get the playoff push in a season, maybe you don't have a lot of gas left in the tank. A college season, it shouldn't be that way because you're only playing 30 times. I say only, I mean, a lot of games, but not like an 82-game schedule.
Right.
But I do think you're seeing in Nevada one of two things taking place right now. Either the grind and the burden of being at the top of the heap. You know, it's like a distance runner can tell you, right, what is the toughest thing to do in the mile, CG, to lead from the start.
Yes.
Because you're pulling the pack with you and you're begging for someone with a big kick to give the old Dave Waddle right in the final turn and run past you. It's either Nevada is feeling that, or some of the issues that we've seen with Carolina, etc., are bothering them, or they are truly waiting for the appropriate time, given their experience, because they won a couple of the NCAA last year, and maybe they are not playing possum, but holding a little bit back emotionally and physically to get to next week. There's a danger in doing that, because if you don't practice the way you want to perform, you can end up out in a hurry. And I am worried that Nevada, carrying the flag for this conference, could find itself out in a hurry if it doesn't pick up its game, because you're right about yesterday. Matter of fact, both, as you referenced, Utah State and Nevada could have been out in the quarterfinal round.
You made a series of great points there. The one that, by the way, 32-27, San Diego State is just in a rhythm. The crowd's going crazy in there. You made a great point in particular when you said maybe they're waiting to kind of turn on the juice and when it really matters. And you can make the argument that a team last year in the NCAA tournament did that, and the name of that team is Virginia. And what happened was, in that game, as we all recall, they got down, and we were waiting for the Virginia run, but they were done. They had been hit so many times in the first half, they were done. UMBC kept exploiting the things that other teams had not exploited all year. And as I'm watching this Nevada game right now, what I'm seeing is exactly what Boise State did to them yesterday. And you wonder, is San Diego State, they're a little longer, they're a little leaner, they're a little better this year than Boise State. Will they be able to sustain this to finish out the half? Because Boise couldn't. You'll remember yesterday, Boise State had a 15-point lead with 7 minutes and change to play in the first half. They couldn't hold that lead. They held the lead, but it was more like six or seven, and that was that little run was all they needed, and then it was back and forth, and eventually Nevada took over. So as we move from that game to this game, last night watching Utah State and New Mexico, I made the point, Tony, and it always seems a little funny when you talk about a player, the talent of Sam Merrill. He had 23, but I'll be darned, Tony, that was a quiet 23 for him. He was not, you know, the big force that they needed him to be. Actually, you look at Justin Bean last night. He had a double-double, 14 points, 15 rebounds, but it was Cada's 16 points and 6 rebounds that I thought was the difference. But they were a team last night. New Mexico, they had them on the ropes, Tony, and you know, for New Mexico and their talent, different game, different matchups. But when you watch them like that, it reminded me of both Utah State, Fresno State games this year, where you can make the argument both teams could have won both games. But I think the matchups in this game are better for Fresno State than a lot of the quote-unquote experts will give them credit for.
Well, there's no doubt, we were talking earlier today, Christopher, that of the 80 minutes Fresno State and Utah State have played this year, the Aggies have controlled most all of those 80 minutes, but the Bulldogs managed to get out of there with one and almost got both games in the win column. And I did want to mention, because I was just hooking up the remote unit when you were making the point about the technical foul in the New Mexico game, and I couldn't agree with you more. A coach has to be careful because he helped turn the momentum, the old let sleeping dogs lie, that gave Utah State the impetus. Otherwise, New Mexico might still be playing, as you talked. The other thing I wanted to make a point of, We had talked about the danger of San Diego State, who won this thing in similar fashion last year, showing up and being the desperate team. And I would make the argument that it might be better to be playing Nevada tomorrow, who's already in, than playing San Diego State, who's just as desperate as Fresno State right now. And so I'm telling you right now, as much as I respect the Wolfpack, I would rather see the Wolfpack than the Aztecs if Fresno State is fortunate enough to get there tomorrow.
Well, that's a great point. You know, one of the things that you look at it, folks, we're talking with, of course, Tony D. Tony, that's one of the things that you look for in a conference tournament, and that is that you're not only looking for matchups, but you're looking for who you might play and where in the line of teams in the tournament you're going to play them. Because if you get stuck playing the team that is 12 and 18 on the year, but it just happens that they've won seven in a row, you just don't want to play them right off the bat. And you're right. Nevada's in. They know they're in. They're probably a two seed. They could have been a one seed, but they're probably a two seed in the tournament, maybe a three seed. So they're not going to go lower than three. And you do wonder if they were to fall way down in this game, you know, do they have the resolve to get back? They probably do. I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any stretch of the imagination. But with Utah State and Fresno State tonight, I really like the fact that they are playing them right now. So I want to transition from that to, you know, we didn't get a chance to do our Friday emails. And right. and your guy Ronnie, said...
My guy Ronnie. Ronnie's an email.
He's your guy. He's your guy. You want consistently great... He said, you want consistently great crowds at Save Mart Center. Here's the best answer. Just have a solid 20-year run of success, exactly like Gonzaga. Then you'll have it whipped. And he writes, LOL. Do you think it's going to take that, Tony?
No, I don't think so, but I do think that the old Al Davis just win baby factors in with the addendum, and the addendum is just win baby ... consistently over an extended period of time. You know, that's the one thing about the Raiders' commitment to excellence. It happened over a real protracted period. They didn't have a Super Bowl title, but year after year they were part of the best record in the NFL, and that's part of the loyalty of their fan base. With Fresno State, they've had good years, but they haven't had great years. And a great year doesn't necessarily mean that you're in the Sweet 16 or the Elite 8. But I do think if you want to get the fan base, which is in transition, and you and I have talked about it, everybody's aware of it at Cedar and Shaw, you've got an older fan base that was part of that Boyd Grant time that at this point not going to as many games. You have a younger fan base that's not quite as involved because they haven't seen that type of community success. So consistency in the NC2A and winning a game or so, I think that would work, but I do think it will take 3-4 years of that kind of stuff before people are going to really grasp the whole concept again. A CBI berth isn't going to do it, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, and I don't really agree with Ronnie. I mean, Ronnie's a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but I think there's a lot of truth from him in his idea that 20 years and you're going to get the fans, because you can look at fan bases. Well, you can look at 12 and 14 or 12 and 18 New Mexico, and their fans show up. You look at fan bases around the country in different conferences, and some fans have just been, you know, that's their team and that's their game, whether it's football or basketball, and they show up. I think that Fresno State fans, these things do go in cycles. Terry Toomey was talking about that earlier. And I do think sometimes fans here, Tony, and you've been a part of them and this vibe longer than I have, I get the idea sometimes that fans here aren't so much, well, what they're doing is they're saying, yeah, show me that you're going to win. Okay, so then the Bulldogs have done that in football the last 2 years, and then there's a new show me. The Bulldogs in basketball have had a number of 20-win series seasons lately. This year they're a number three seed, have a good chance to beat Utah State tonight, and I would be willing to bet that if the Bulldogs win this tournament, you're going to have fans say, okay, well, they won it this year, but show me another couple of years, and then I'll come. At some point, Tony, fans and in particular students need to take the plunge, jump off the end of the diving board and just say, I'm all in, I'm going to get behind this team.
Yeah, you would. I agree with it in principle, CG, I really do. I also from growing up here and, you know, being not only a Fresno State grad, but someone who was around the university as a kid, right? We were always riding our bikes and, you know, playing ball in the gym and always being around it. And no, not where Fresno City College is now. I don't want an email claiming that I was around when Fresno State was where Fresno City College is. Not that I'm sensitive to this age issue.
No, of course not.
But I do think what you have is a team that's always going to have the community support. And this even applied, as I've said so often, when I was in school, $79 a semester to go to school, less if you need a health fee, right? I mean, and no kidding.
Right.
I had a $1,300 stipend that I didn't go through the entire time, including books. That will tell you how inexpensive a state university was. Now with the expense, I think even more this problem of getting there, getting in and out as quickly as possible is exacerbated. It makes it tougher. You don't have people. There isn't Tent City. There's not Krzyzewskiville. There's not that going on. So I think you're always going to be, as much as you'd love to see more students, and I would love to see it as well, and they've tried with Campus Point and everything, and I hope it works, but it's still going to come down to mom and dad and the kids and how many people who are not necessarily students of Fresno State embrace the program. That's the trick. We've heard it how many times about Save Mart Center. There's nothing wrong with SMC that isn't solved by a team winning. They have won 20-plus games, but they haven't broken through on a national scale consistently. And I think that's what's going to take CG, because you know this. It takes as much a social motivation as it does watching the game. Going somewhere to be seen. Going somewhere because your neighbors are going. We have lost that a little bit in basketball.
Yeah.
You got to get it back if you're going to have success in a very big building. That's a given. That is a big place to fill, and we all know it.
Yeah, no question. Last thing, Tony, I know you need to get running. Shame on me for not mentioning one very, very key factor in the Nevada-San Diego State game, and that is Jordan Caroline is not playing.
Right.
And so they are. Nevada is using a seven-man rotation right now, and I may end up being wrong on this, but as I'm just watching this play out, Tony, and watching a series of things that have gone wrong now, for 18 and a half minutes for Nevada, boy, Tony, you know, when you're in the arena, you start to get that feeling, are we seeing an upset brewing here? That's kind of what I'm left with. I'll give you the last word, my friend.
Here's the bottom line. Nevada is the better team. They have proven it. But in this circumstance, particularly without Caroline, if this comes down to the last couple of minutes, I'll take my chances with Jalen Daniels in the low block before Cody Martin letting it fly from 25, kicking the leg out. It doesn't mean that Cody's not a great player, and he and Caleb are terrific. But McDaniels in the low block, if this game is close, if it is a nail-biter in a single-possession game, San Diego State's going to win the game. And then we're right back to our old buddies in the conference championship. If Fresno State gets there, they and San Diego State have staged some beauties already at the Thomas and Mack. It would be something to see it tomorrow, that's for sure.
Yeah. No doubt about that, and there you would have San Diego State and Fresno State again playing a third time in a conference playoff game, and we saw how that went last year. Tony, thank you for joining me today, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
Love it, CG. I'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great one, and stay away from the casinos. That's all I could tell you.
I will take that advice
to
heart, my
friend.
What kind
of advice is that in Las Vegas? That's like telling you go to the Vatican and try to avoid the Pope, okay? You'll be fine there, really. Just fine.
That's perfect. Thank you, sir.
I'll see you, CG.
All right. This is the Christopher Gabriel Program.
Fresno State Basketball is brought to you by Freedom RV. They have an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating and by A-plus Signs. It's not bragging if you can do it.
TGP live from Thomas and Mack Center. Las Vegas, San Diego State, and Nevada have gone to the half. 34-32. It was a late three by Corey Henson, sending the Wolfpack into the halftime locker room, with just a 2-point disadvantage to San Diego State. And, if you ever want to look for omens, I've been talking about how this has had the feel of an upset. And then you never want to give a team any kind of life going into the half. And if Nevada comes out on fire, you're going to look at that moment. You look at that singular moment and say maybe that was it, because they were down five and San Diego State crowd was roaring, and you just, it looked like this was gonna be that kind of a feel going in, and we're talking about San Diego State. They're gonna be, maybe they'll extend in the second half, and then you have that three, and Nevada closes to 34-32. All right. Let me give you a look. Try to do this a couple of times during the program because there's a whole lot of basketball going on, and I'm gonna remind you, 7:30 pregame show, Paul Leffler, Coach Q is gonna be up here, with me at 7:05. We'll talk about the game last night from his standpoint, his vantage point, and what he sees happening tonight. You'll have the post-game show. You'll hear the post-game presser. And then we are going to encourage you to, we'll be on for about 20 minutes after the post-game show. We're calling it Bulldogs Overtime. You want to jump on, give us a call at 844-940-3776. Would love to hear your take on the game that will play out tonight. Win, lose, either way, we want to hear from you. Once again, at the half, San Diego State up on Nevada, 34-32. Really nice crowd inside tonight. Looks like a good mix of both schools' fans. Looking around the country, games in progress right now in the Big East. It's the semifinal. Marquette, not surprised at all by a 24-12 lead halfway through the first half over Seton Hall in the Big Ten quarters. Iowa is trailing number 10 Michigan 21-17. In the SEC quarters out in Nashville, number 8, Tennessee, up on Mississippi State, 21-15. And then you have Duke and North Carolina. The 5th-ranked Duke Blue Devils, the number 3, North Carolina Tar Heels. This, of course, is a semifinal. Boy, it just, how does it always seem to work out that Duke and North Carolina, no matter what happens, they get that third game just about seemingly every year? Well, right now, it is North Carolina up 24-17 on Duke. You know, you wonder, as you look at this game, you wonder how Zion Williamson, after being gone so long, how he's going to fare coming back a couple of games in a row. You know, how is his conditioning? Right now in the first half, 10 minutes gone in the first half, Zion Williamson has 4 points on 2-for-5 shooting. So keep our eyes on that game. In the Big 12 semifinals, West Virginia and number 17 Kansas, they are tied at 17. And then you look around the country. These are finals. We talked about some of these a little bit earlier, and I mentioned that Florida State, they're ranked 12th, but they were supposed to go down to Virginia today. And this is why you look at conference tournaments and you just don't know what's going to happen. March Madness starts before the tournament starts. It's at the conference tournament level. Florida State not only beats Virginia, but they handle them. This was not a fluke. They handled Virginia 69-59, and that's about how the game was most of the game. And Virginia, you know, they were thought to be a number one seed lock. They were also thought that they were going to get to the ACC final. I've got to believe that them going down in the semis of the ACC tournament, that's got to give the tournament committee, the tournament selection committee, something to think about in terms of whether or not they're going to end up being a number one seed. We have to see how the rest of the tournament plays out, obviously. Kentucky, number 4 in the nation, number 2 seed in the SEC tournament, quarterfinal in Nashville, no problems with Alabama, 73-55. Number 6, Michigan State, in the quarterfinals of the Big Ten tournament. They beat Ohio State 77-70. One of the big upsets of the day, the top seed in the SEC tournament, 9th-ranked LSU. And, of course, they've got the situation with Will Wade going on. The school said he wasn't going to coach, that he said, I don't see any reason why I can't coach. Well, he didn't coach, and they lost. So we don't have to worry about that anymore, at least until the NCAA tournament. Florida, with 1 second to go, makes a three. You thought the game was going to overtime, but they had a kickout pass from underneath the basket, and they had a three from the top of the key. Guy was wide open, and Florida takes down LSU 76-73. Some other games around the country. Minnesota in the Big Ten quarters, they beat number 13 Purdue. This is a pretty big upset, 75-73. And UConn and Houston ranked 11th in the American Athletic Conference. Houston beats UConn 84-75. And in the Big 12 semis, Iowa State upsets Kansas State. Boy, Kansas State, seems like every year they're a top 20 team, and they get to the Big 12 tournament, and they never quite pull it off. They get the NCAA tournament, maybe they win a game, or they always seem to go out early. They lose 63-59. Wisconsin in the Big Ten, ranked 19th. They win in the quarterfinals over Nebraska, 66-62. Auburn over South Carolina in the SEC, 73-64. Coming up, one more half hour coming your way. Coach Q joins me live at Thomas and Mack Center. This is the Christopher Gabriel Program.
The studios of 940 ESPN in Fresno, California. This is the Christopher Gabriel Program.
Hour number three, but you're going to get 30 minutes less. That's okay. You're still getting full service on this program, full value. You know that. You know how we roll here. It begins right now. 5 minutes, 18 seconds past the hour of 7 p.m. Pacific Daylight Saving Time. Glad to have you aboard live from the Thomas and Mack Center, the Strip Pavilion just across the concourse, San Diego State and the Nevada Wolfpack. It's 34-32, but then I've seen the score 34-29. Did they not allow that shot? They had to have allowed that shot. I'm not really sure, but we're going to keep an eye on that game for you. The big man is in the house. When he comes in, everybody just sort of moves aside because the big man is here. We're talking about my friend Coach Q. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, CG. I'm so glad to have you here, man. You've been bringing all that great energy and getting all that awesome insight for our listeners back in Fresno. This is, for me, it's good to have all of us here because it's what it should be when it comes to basketball. And I'm enjoying that you're here and that you're getting to, you know, all the folks are talking to you. I think that's big. It just makes our broadcast bigger and better, and I love that.
Well, I thank you for the kind words. I do. I mean, I think there is something to be said for, you know, you and Paul are the, you know, the color analyst, the voice. You're the guys behind Fresno State basketball. You know, we have the afternoon drive show here. The fans are here. You know, you need to have the team. The team needs to be here to support the team. And, you know, we're here carrying the flag for the Central Valley. And we end up being the conduit for everything that's happening here to folks driving around in their cars or sitting, sitting at a desk somewhere.
That's right.
So, last night, my takeaway, and I've talked to Tony D about it, but I'd like to get your insights as a former player and as a coach. The thing that stood out to me most about the game last night, Coach, was the defensive intensity for the Bulldogs, and it. Here's a thing that I pointed out. I'm going to get your take here. The feeling, the vibe in that arena, it just, the air went out of that arena when the New Mexico fans left.
Yeah.
And it became a practice with about 1,000 or 2,000 people there. And it would have been very easy for Fresno State to fall into that trap of getting a little lazy, a little lethargic, but they didn't. They brought heat from start to finish.
Yeah, and that's always a concern because it's playing with that 8:30 game. If the game before you is packed and fired up, everybody's fired up, and then you go after warm-ups and all that energy's walking out, you go, man, where y'all going? We're going to put on a great show for you.
That's right.
And they're walking out the door. You know, but for those guys to get focused, I think that's where that senior leadership comes in with Deshaun and Braxton and Sam Bittner, that they are able to be focused. They're locked in. They have a bigger picture in mind. And they know if they can play in a game like tonight or tomorrow afternoon that the crowd will be there. And so it'll be interesting to see, actually, CG, if that doesn't happen again with Nevada and San Diego State playing now.
Yeah.
If it just sucks out again.
Yeah, that's a good point because I was saying, and you and Paul were coming in and you've been checking out a little bit of that game. Even with the music going on over here on one of the dunks in the first half, I could hear the crowd in here. So that crowd is bringing it in there. And the crowd, even the fans who aren't rooting for Nevada or San Diego State, they get a little bit worn down. And they need a little time to recover. But one of these fan bases is going to leave. There's no reason for them to be here after for the second game. So, yeah, there's going to be a little bit of decompression.
Yes.
But Utah State will certainly bring fans. There was a number of them there last night. There were about 100 Fresno State fans. I've got to believe, and I may be proven wrong, I got to believe there's going to be more.
Yeah, because it's a later start. Some
yep.
people couldn't get off on Thursday. They need to get a Friday or have
right.
a Friday in. And now they'll start trickling in. Hopefully today there'll be more coming. And certainly if they win today, you know, I'm going to tell everybody out there listening, I don't have any tickets. I didn't get one ticket.
Man, yes, it always comes to that, doesn't it?
Yeah, if I gave you a ticket, I had to buy it. So you might as well buy it yourself, and I don't have to stand in the line.
We heard that for the Las Vegas Bowl. Let me tell you how many. I mean, every time I come in, and I don't get a lot of voicemails, get a lot of emails, but I'd come in and I'd see like 31 of my voicemails. Like, I know what these are about. These people want tickets. Like,
yes.
What do you think? I'm the ticket fairy? I don't have that.
Yeah, I don't have that power.
Last night you heard me ask Nate Grimes, and I talked about the size. And speaking specifically about Keita on Utah State, and I said, you know, how do you attack somebody that's a little bigger than you, not necessarily stronger than you, but he's a little bigger, and he's got good hands. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes near the basket. You know, when he gets an offensive rebound, he doesn't put the ball on the floor. He knows to go right back up. How do you approach him? And all he said was, got to go hard. He does have to go hard, but it's more than that. How does he approach going at Keita? How does his team approach going at Keita?
Well, it's still good. Those are both good questions. One is Grimes has got to set up before the play happens. He's always got to be in basketball position. He's got to beat Keita to spots. He's got to have his knees bent. He's got to have his head on the swivel, know where the ball and man is at, that relationship. Then team, they're going to have to help him block out Keita. They're going to have to do more to give Grimes some support. Last night we saw it, you know, when they played Air Force, that they went down into the post a little differently with their guards. They made sure that they threw some help in the post for their big guys. So they've made adjustments, and the players are understanding how to do it better.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those guys, if they've never been taught that, to learn that in college, you're getting it late and you're behind, and you know, it's not instinctive to you. So those two things are what they need to do to deal with that big guy in the middle. He's tough.
He is.
Yeah.
He's a good player. He's a focused player, and he brings some things to the court that presents some problems for opponents. Now, by the way, 40-29, they did not allow that three at the end of the first half. It's now 40-29, San Diego State. On the other side of the ball, Braxton Huggins, 0-11, 0-8 from three, and you can look at that a couple of different ways. Number one, Aguirre Gao had a tremendous basketball game last night, and he brought some things that surprised me. I did not know that he had an outside game like that. And when you combine what he could do outside with what a slasher he is, that's a nice element for this team to have. But Braxton Huggins, and I think you talked about it last night, I mentioned it today, I wonder if his defensive intensity got in the way of his offense. And you could see he was frustrated, but he wasn't frustrated to the point of what's wrong here. He's just a little frustrated because Braxton Huggins doesn't have nights like that. He's not going to have that kind of night tonight.
Right, and if he's barely missing shots, and you said he shot 11 of them?
0-11,
okay.
0-8 from 3.
How many coaches would let a guy shoot that many shots?
That's a good point.
So you know that the staff and the players believe in him.
That's right.
He wasn't rushing shots. Some of them went in and out on
him. Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
Please talk about that for a moment, because I made the point that his looks were good. He had good looks.
Yeah, he shot quality shots. He shot the similar shots that he got when he broke the record for 10 three-pointers making in the game. He got great looks, and they were in the context of the offense. Those shots will fall, and I think he knows that. Whenever they let you shoot 11 shots and you're 0-4, and they give you, go ahead, shoot some more, shoot 2 or 3 more, they don't go in. Now you're 0-8. Says that, hey, man, don't shoot the ball no more. You're 0-10. They say, come on, we're going to run another play for you. Shoot it. You're 0-11.
That's right.
I mean, hey, you know, somebody's got a whole lot of faith in you.
That's it.
Yeah, so I think, but what he's doing on the defensive end, you want that every night, and you're going to need that tonight. When they play against the Aggies,
no question about it. Of course, the very familiar voice, the color analyst, the man who is right alongside Paul Leffler for Fresno State basketball, Coach Q, joining me. It's the rare time, because he's a busy man, that I get to have him in person here. So that's always a good thing.
It's good that you're here.
Yeah,
easy to walk up here and see you like this.
That's great, right? Is that great?
It's simple.
Absolutely. So. If you're Justin Hudson, how are you approaching the offensive side of this game tonight? Because I noticed that you know, they look to run when they can. It's a control break. It's not an all-out, you know, old Loyola Marymount, UNLV type thing. It's nothing like that. But do you look at them wanting to push tempo on this team, or is it going to be one of those, unless we absolutely have it, we're going to, you know, we'll go into the half-court set?
You mentioned two names. They would like to get closer to running their break like that.
Okay.
And sometimes Deshaun holds it up, or guys aren't running lanes hard. Last night we saw him run the lanes.
No question.
A lot better. And I think that if they could do that for the rest of the tournament, they will find success with their scoring. Just more, it'll be easier for them to score. So running for them is big, and they want them to run. They want them to get down and shoot. That's their strength. Catching teams off balance in transition, even if they're all back, they can't match up with all the players quick enough, and it creates advantages for them either on the, off the shot, off the bounce, or whatever it is. That's the best way for them to play. I would be running like Loyola. They're getting trained to run like Loyola and the Running Rebels of Tark's area.
How do you approach Sam Merrill? Because I said it was my opinion that his 23 last night were a quiet 23. He made some big plays down the stretch when it seems like every time he goes to the bucket, he gets a call. And that's just kind of where it's at, and so be it. But he wasn't the guy that beat them, that brought them back last night against New Mexico, but he's going to be a factor. You can't not know that he's on the court, obviously.
Right.
He's such a big talent. How do they approach him? Who's going to be guarding him? Is it going to be Deshaun?
I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how they start off with
him. Yeah.
They put Deshaun on him. You got to make it difficult, crowd him, stay in front of him without fouling him. Sam is a very smart player. He's not fast. He's somewhat quick, but he knows how to change speeds the right way. And so you can be slow and just go a little slower and then go fast. It's like a changeup in the pitching deal. I like the fact that he's a really good player, and you got to watch him. So that's going to make the Dogs really be focused on defense because of that. And last night's game is good practice for today. They had the Air Force ran really complicated stuff that sometimes can get funny for defenses to stop. Utah State will do something similar. But what helps you is that you know you have to focus on Sam. And I think that that's the good thing about the way Sam's game is. I think after seeing him for the third time, they'll know how to keep an eye on him, and they won't lose him. And I think you got to keep Sam pressure on him on the offensive end. Make him guard guys. That's the secret. Look at what happened to Braxton last night because he had to play so hard.
That's right.
Put Sam in that spot. And New Mexico put Sam in that spot, and he had four fouls going in late. I thought he was going to foul out. He didn't. But you got to make Sam foul you because he can't guard you.
It struck me. I've seen Bittner play. Excuse me, not Bittner. I've seen Merrill play a couple of times in person now and on TV. He doesn't seem like he likes to get bumped. Not that anybody does, but it does seem to, looking at his body language and his face, that New Mexico was bumping him a lot last night. And is the approach you want to get a little physical with him?
Certainly. I mean, but he's strong.
Yeah, he is. He's 6'5". Yeah, he's big.
And you stand next to Sam. Sam's built like a man.
Yeah, he is.
And so.
And it's easy to forget that when you're watching on TV, but he's a big dude.
Yeah. So, you know, again, if you got Deshaun or Braxton bumping him, he's bigger than both of those guys.
Right.
So it's a case of how do you use your speed? How do you use your advantage to win? And that's what they're going to have to focus on. You know, Utah State's dominated essentially both games. You know, Fresno State's got to find a way to get in there today and solve that riddle, defend better. And I still believe, CG, they've got to run like Tark's teams. They got to get down because that will frustrate Utah State, and you're going to have to press them. You saw that last night. New Mexico's got a much deeper bench. A extremely, extremely talented team. They're undisciplined. But Fresno State can do something similar to cause cause Utah State to turn over the ball.
By the way, they're making a little run here. Nevada's making a run. It's 42-36 all of a sudden. Give me a wild card for Fresno State tonight. Is it a new Williams? Is it an Aguirre Gao coming in? I mean, who's a wild card that maybe gives Utah State some difficulty in a matchup or in production that maybe they're not expecting.
Noah Blackwell. Last time saved their bacon because he made a bunch of big shots in the second half. I mean, Noah did not have a great first half, the first game there. The second half in that first game, he really made some shots. He needs to do that again tonight. And if last night was any idea what Noah can do, again, he's showing that he can shoot it, and he's got to be willing to take shots and take those chances. So I hope that he comes out and fires up some shots.
When Noah Blackwell's out there, he plays with, like Deshaun does, in one particular way. He plays with great confidence. And when he's really in control the floor mode, good things happen for this team. Good things happen for Noah. When Noah's on his game in a big way, is Deshaun, does that work well with Deshaun, that Deshaun maybe says, I'm not taking a back seat, but I'm going to try to get other people involved right now because Noah's on fire?
Yeah, Deshaun's become a great playmaker, a lot of assists last night. You know, teams can't tee up on him and load up on Deshaun. They'll be forced to. There's so many weapons out there that every coach I talk to in the conference say, man, when Noah Blackwell and New are making shots along with Bittner hitting shots, and you got Huggins out there doing it and DT's doing his thing, there's too many people for him to guard.
Yeah.
And Noah has to bring that flavor. And when he does, he's smart, he's skilled, he played for a great high school coach, a guy I used to be a battle all the time up in Sacramento years ago. So I know he's been taught well. His dad coached some. His older brother played. He's one of those guys that knows basketball. If he's playing inspired basketball, Fresno State will win. Believe me. Noah's the key.
We're going to keep that in mind. We will definitely keep that in mind. Of course, he's Coach Q. You're going to hear him in about 9 minutes with Paul Loeffler giving you your official pregame show. Tip is at 8:30. Postgame show. You'll hear the postgame comments in the media room, and then we'll jump on with Bulldogs Overtime for about 20 minutes. We want to get your calls, 844-940-3776. Coach, it's a great joy to be here with you, my friend.
CG, I'm glad you're here, brother, and fun hanging out with you last night.
Right on. He is Coach Q. I'm Christopher Gabriel. This is the CGP.
Fresno State Basketball is brought to you by Freedom RV, the People's Choice Award-winning RV dealer for Fresno, and by A-Plus Signs. It's not bragging if you can do it.
One more thing for you today. My thanks to Coach Q and Terry Toomey and Jesse Kurtz, Tony D. My thanks to all of them and all of our guests yesterday. And all the folks here at Thomas and Mack Center, all the folks with the Mountain West Conference, my guy Russ back at Mission Control doing a great job coordinating everything for the program there, all of our staff at One Putt, everybody, there's a lot of folks who are behind the scenes that did a lot of things to make this all work. We're not done here, but I just want to make sure that we get those out there because they are heartfelt and they're as sincere as we can offer them. We are thrilled to be here, just as we were supporting Fresno State football. We are equally thrilled to be here supporting Fresno State basketball. And again, I'm going to keep reminding you, because we want to hear from you after the game tonight, win or lose. We're going to do about 20 minutes after the postgame show. Bulldogs Overtime. We want to hear your calls, hear your thoughts on the game, good, bad, or indifferent. We want to hear what you have to say. Either the Bulldogs are going home, or the Bulldogs are going to play Nevada or San Diego State. That is a 44-39 San Diego State lead. At one point, it was 42-29. Nevada on a 10-2 run, finding their legs just a little bit. This is where San Diego State's going to get tested. You know, San Diego State beat this team, as you know. They beat them down at Viejas just a couple of weeks ago. And this Nevada team is playing without Jordan Caroline tonight. So far, it has been a seven-man rotation for this team. They're shooting. Nevada's shooting poor from the field. San Diego State shooting just a little bit better. But it's 44-40 right now. There's a ton of Nevada fans in there. San Diego State is very well represented, and as you would probably imagine, every fan that is impartial to this game is rooting for San Diego State. So Utah State and Fresno State tonight. In about an hour and 3 or 4 minutes, unless this game goes to overtime. How do I see it? Well, I see this game as pretty much the way Coach Q sees it. I see it as a game of tempo. I think that Fresno State really needs to push tempo. Utah State likes to run, but it's a much more control break. Fresno State runs exceptionally well. I think that Fresno State has the speed and athleticism to take this team down. As Coach Q said, Utah State has largely controlled both the games that these two teams played this season, but Fresno State found a way to win the one up in Logan. They came close down here. I shouldn't say down here. Back in Fresno, but came up just a little bit short. I think that they're going to have to make Sam Merrill earn every single thing that he gets on the offensive end. He's a 6'5", 205-pound kid who is all muscle. He's a tough guy to handle because he's very elusive. He's not lightning quick, but he's quick enough. And he's a great catch and shoot guy. He can get his shot off from anywhere, and he can penetrate as well as anybody in the Mountain West. They've got to get somebody on him. They've got to put a body on him and make it difficult for him. They also have to work with Cada, and they've got to try to shut down Cada. And again, as Coach Q said, Nate Grimes, or whether it's Rojas, whoever it happens to be, they need to get the spots before he does, because what he does in the half court set for Utah State, he likes to go to a spot, he plants himself there, and they will feed him, and they'll get it. When they get on the ball in within 4 or 5 feet from the basket, it's usually going to be a basket for Cada and for Utah State. On the offensive side of the ball for Fresno State, I think that they need to try to get Braxton Huggins off early. After an 0-for-11 night, Braxton Huggins needs to get off early. It'll take 1-3. That's it. 1-3 for Braxton Huggins to be feeling it. I also think that Deshaun Taylor needs to look to penetrate. He needs to look to go to the hole and draw fouls or kick it out to guys who are wide open, whether it's Bittner in the corner or whether it's Huggins at the top of the key. I also think that New Williams needs to be a big factor tonight as well. New is a guy who is explosive at the offensive end. He has got tremendous quickness, tremendous speed, and he can take just about anybody that Utah State is going to throw at him and take him to the hole. And I think that New Williams can be a guy that can be a factor tonight. And I also think it's Aguirre Agao. He needs to come with the same kind of game that he had last night. I was stunned at what he brought to this team from long range. And if he is bringing heat from long range, like I said in the post game last night, he will draw that defense out and make it a lot easier for Nate Grimes and others under the basket. All right, folks, coming up, Paul Loeffler, Coach Q, courtside, pregame show, and then 8:30, the tip, Utah State and Fresno State. One more thank you once again back to Russ at the station for all his hard work. Folks, we'll either see you tomorrow for a game day live, or we'll see you Monday. Until then, you're on your own.